This morning's Bible reading is from Matthew, chapter 11 from verse 25, and you can find that on page 966 of your church Bibles. So page 966, Matthew 11 from verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
So, first talk in a new series, new year. This is our holiday series for 2017, and it'll run through all the school holidays of the year except for special Sundays like Safari Sunday and that sort of thing. So it's a dozen talks, and they're topical. And the title we've given them is simply Different. I think perhaps far too often Christians are too much like the world. And yet we're called to be holy, and that means we're called to be different. Trusting in Jesus should mean something. In fact, should mean everything. And it should be something, a belief, a faith that works from the inside out, that changes our character, our nature, because we're tied to Jesus, and then is displayed in all sorts of ways in our lives. And so the topic, or the title for the series is Different, and each one of the topics is taking something that everybody acknowledges is good. So rest, for example, you wouldn't find many people who think that rest is a bad thing, but taking a topic like that and showing how, for us as believers and followers of Jesus, it's good in a different way. That we have a different understanding of what rest is for, where rest is found, and what a restful life can and should look like. So that's the idea. A dozen topics throughout the year, things that everybody knows are good, but we see as good because of Jesus and the goodness that he brings to those things. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for time. We thank you for time set aside, that we do have this opportunity and this commitment, this understanding that it's good to gather, to set time aside to gather, to remove distractions, to provide appropriate learning opportunities for our children and also for us. We never grow up from needing to hear and be taught from your word. We grow up in your word, but only as we listen to you. So, Father, we ask that as we take this restful moment, that you would teach us, teach our minds, teach our hearts, teach our souls about the rest that we've been made for and about the rest that you have made for us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I had to make a visit to the doctor this week. That's an event in my life, by the way, a rare event. I think probably I've been to the doctor. I've been to the doctor more than I've been to the dentist, but that's not saying too much. I had to go to the doctor because I'm sharing a bit here. I had this rash on my back, and it wasn't going away. And I thought, you know, that's not looking good. I'll go to the doctor. This is a week after it appeared. And so I went to the doctor. Fortunately, Daisy already had an appointment for something else, and I was able to just kind of sneak in with her. And I showed the doctor the rash on my back, and he said, "Oh, that's shingles." And I was like, "No, old people get shingles. Like, It turns out that's not quite true, unless I'm old, which is also a possibility. Now, fortunately, just before you get too worried for me, it's not hurting, so I'm blessed in that way. I understand from the doctor that it often does hurt quite a lot, and it's just at this stage anyway, a rash will go away, and hopefully that's all I know about it. I was talking to a friend yesterday who's also a doctor, and asking about, you know, the cause of shingles, because my doctor didn't seem all that interested in talking about it. And he said, well, it's usually because of a low immune system. It's usually because you're experiencing, you know, tiredness and stress and that sort of stuff. Or if you're older, it's just because your immune system is lower as you age. And I thought, okay. So maybe I haven't been resting all that well. Maybe I'm overtired. Maybe there've been things in my life and around me that are stressing me out, and I was not as aware of them as I should have been. And this is my body telling me. This is a sign that God has kind of programmed into my body to reveal something that's going on. And maybe I need to make some plans for better rest. How are you feeling at this time of year? I mean, it's a funny time of year, isn't it? It's a time that promises a lot. I think we all expect to get some rest at this time of year. I'm looking at quite a few school teachers out there. This is kind of the golden moments of the year, isn't it? You know, where you've kind of got all this space around you. Others also, you know, things shut down often. I was chatting to a small business owner yesterday and I said, what's this time of year like for a small business owner? They're like, same as every other time of the year. I should be resting, but I'm not. I wonder what it's like for you. Is it delivering on that hope, that promise perhaps of rest, or do you somehow feel just as busy as any other time of the year? It's funny, isn't it, how elusive rest can be. Even when we do catch a moment of rest, we can feel like a boxer between rounds. You know, just kind of in the corner with like a minute off before we've got to get back into the fight. And we know the new year is coming. In fact, guess what? It's already here. It's already upon us. How did that happen? 2017. I remember when it was 19 something. In fact, every now and then I still fill out a form that has 19 dot, dot, dot on it. They're old church forms, you know, like they're kind of, things change slowly. 2017 is already here. And are you rested? Are you restful? Or do you still feel restless? I want us this morning, spend a brief amount of time just looking at a highlights package through God's Word of rest, and it really will be a quick scan through about five passages. And then to just leave that and think about two ways that we need rest and two ways that God provides rest for us. So let's dip in. We won't start with Matthew 11, although we will land there. We'll start way back in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 2, with that passage that I started off this morning. And there it is, God's rest at the end of his work of creation. And what we discover there is the surprising fact that when God finished making the world, he rested. I mean, the surprising thing about that to me is the thought that God was tired. Now, I actually don't think that God was tired. I don't think that was the reason that he rested. That tends to be why we rest. But notice that for God, he rested because he was finished. That's why God rested, because everything on the to-do list was done. Everything was ticked off. And I think that God rests on the seventh day, not because he's exhausted from his work, but because he's finished and because his plan was to enjoy what he had made. That's what his rest is about. It's about enjoying what he's made. Because what did God say at the end of his work of creating? He said, he called it very good, didn't he? He said, we have made all this and it is very good. And so I want you to picture God kicking back on the seventh day, Father, Son and Spirit high-fiving, kicking back with a beer in the hammock, looking at everything they've made and thinking, this is good. No, no, this is not just good, this is very good. We have made a perfect and beautiful world. And God is enjoying, not in an arrogant way, and that's one of the beauties of the Trinity, that it's never a self-centered joy that comes for God. It's always a shared joy, Father, Son and Spirit going, look at what we've done, how good is that? And that's the first account of rest. God resting to enjoy all that he's made. Unfortunately, that rest doesn't last long, even though it's God's intention to share that rest. And a little later on in chapter 3, we read that God was walking in the garden in the cool of the evening. I think that's God enjoying fellowship with the man and the woman in particular, but with all of creation that he's made, and sharing the rest of creation with them. But unfortunately, in this moment, God is walking in the garden and looking for Adam and Eve who have rebelled against him. And as a result, have lost their rest, are no longer restful, are certainly no longer restful in their souls. In fact, what they're doing is hiding from God. There's a restlessness now in their souls that is estranging them from God. And as we see, there are all sorts of implications that flow out of that. And if you look at the curses that God visits upon the man and the woman, they're things that make life toil. So for the woman, it is that having children is going to be painful now, even though that is what she was designed for and made for, to fill the earth and subdue it along with her husband. That is now going to be a toil for her. And for the man who was designed to spread the goodness of God throughout the earth and to grow crops, abundant crops and that sort of stuff, now his work is going to be toil as well. And it was always meant to be work, good work, but it was meant to be a work that flourished without toil, where the earth was filled with babies and families that would not be hard work, and where the earth was tilled and food was grown and crops were produced without toil, but no longer. Rest has been lost because of sin entering the world. And if you wonder why your work is hard, that's the reason. That's why your work is hard in this world, because this world is a fallen one, broken by sin and rebellion, estranged from its maker. But God still wants his people to enjoy rest. That's still his goal. And so when he calls the people to himself, when we head into Exodus, and he's got this great nation that's been formed, and he takes them out of slavery, where they've had to work every day, night and day, working day in, day out, he wants them to rest. And so included in his good law for this people, those Ten Commandments, is one about resting. That is, it's one about a Sabbath day. You know it. Here it is. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall work. I think that's worth remembering, that God thought one day off a week was okay. So we shouldn't press too hard with our 40-hour week. But anyway, that's an aside. 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day no one should work. No one should work. You shouldn't work and you shouldn't make anybody else work, God says, because that day is a day that's meant to be set apart. Remember, you used to be slaves in Egypt. You had to work every day, but no longer, because I am your good master who knows you need rest and who gives you the rest you need. That's what God is saying when he gives Israel a Sabbath rest. There aren't to be slaves in my land, among my people. You're to be people who rest and rest in me. You're to be people who trust and trust that I will provide, that 6 days is sufficient and I will give you what you need for the seventh day because I'm the God who provides. And notice too that rest isn't about just, it's not focused on the people. That is, it's not focused on them and their needs. Well, it is, except that their need is to know God. It's a holy day, a day that's to be devoted to the Lord, in the sense that it's a day that's to be about knowing God, to be focusing on Him. I think very often we think about rest as simply for us, and therefore our attitude is that we will do with that day what we want to do, what we have an urge to do, a craving for. But actually God says, no, the best rest is going to come when you set aside that time, that day, for me. That is, to know me. Not for His benefit, but to know Him for our benefit. That's the idea of the Sabbath. Notice also that for it to work, everybody has to do it. You see that? You're to rest, you're not to work, and neither should your servants. No one else is to work either. And that's because God always wanted His people to worship Him together, to rest together, to spend time together, to remind one another of their good God, their saving God, together. And we can only do that if we actually set time aside to do that, which is what you've done this morning. And it's why we still gather regularly, that is weekly, and at other times, because we know that it's good to rest in God together. Moving on, we know that Israel's experience of rest in the land was far from perfect. And God makes a promise to His king, King David, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, that in the land they will find rest. And you read it there just at the end, oh, it's right down the bottom. God is reminding David of all that He has already done for him. In verse 10 He says, I will provide a place for my people Israel. I will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. And so we see that rest is also about security, about not being disturbed, not being troubled by enemies. That's what God promises David, and it's what Israel experienced for a brief period of time under David and under Solomon, but it doesn't last. It's achieved, but it's short-lived. And so God's promise of rest for His people needs to find fulfillment in the future, after David's time, after Solomon's time, and after them, of course, comes King Jesus. And Jesus comes offering, inviting us to enjoy His rest. As Laura read for us earlier in Matthew chapter 11, those very powerful, poignant words in Jesus' invitation, come to me, He says. Crucial words, come to me. All of you who are weary, all of you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. And do you think there's anybody who doesn't fit that bill? Really? Do you think there's anybody who isn't in their souls weary, who isn't in their souls burdened, carrying things that are too heavy for them? That the only way they can really deal with is to ignore them, push them down, cast them aside, because there is no rest. But Jesus says to all of them and to all of us, come and I will give you rest, rest for your souls. But even there, we've got to understand that it's not a rest that means there's no work. Did you notice that in that verse, Jesus uses the word yoke? He says, take my yoke upon you. In other words, unite yourself to me, tie yourself to me, will walk by my side, and I will carry the load, but you must be yoked to me. And so I think that the Christian life is not one that doesn't involve effort. But the effort is directed towards Jesus and towards trusting him, because he's the one who carries the burden for us. And so in Hebrews chapter 4, we read that there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And he's not just talking about setting aside a day. He's not talking about Sundays or Saturdays or whatever. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example, that is, the Old Testament, their example of disobedience. Make every effort to enter that rest. You see, following Jesus does take effort, doesn't it? But he's the one who carries the load for us. We're not putting in effort to earn his favour or anything like that, but it is a challenge to trust him. Just as always was for Israel, to rest in God, to trust that he was the one who had finished the work. It can be hard for us to trust that as well. So we don't work hard in our own efforts, but we work hard to trust in Jesus' efforts. There's a bit of a scan through the Old Testament. God's rest in the first place, the rest being lost, God commanding rest for his people, promising rest for his people, offering rest for his people in Jesus. And we'll come back to Matthew 11 at the end. But a few things that I just want to point out about rest. And that is, first of all, that rest, we need rest for our bodies. Now, we know this. You know, whether it's a rash that appears on your back or just, you know, that you yawn, or like now. No, just kidding. That you get tired, that you get stressed and anxious. Whatever it is for you, your body tells you that you need rest. And I think the important thing here is that we need to acknowledge that we are dependent creatures. We're dependent creatures. We've been made with needs. And God made us that way so that we would look to him to meet our needs. Did you understand that? Did you get that? That as a creature, you need your creator. You need him not just to be made, but to be provided for, to be sustained, to live. And that's a good thing. It's good for us to know that we're not independent, but that we actually need God. Our bodies get tired and stressed. Our minds get overloaded. We're constantly receiving input. And our hearts get anxious, don't they, about all that's going on around us. And we feel incapable of coping with it all. And we are on our own. And all those feelings that we feel remind us of how much we need God and need the rest that only he can provide. We also need to acknowledge that God is a loving God and a sovereign God and a God who provides. And when we rest, we acknowledge that. When we rest, we go, okay, I could just keep on going and going and going, trying my hardest, and yet I would never achieve rest. So I'm just going to stop and remember that God is the one who meets my needs. God is the one who loves me. God is the one who provides for me. God is the one who does for me what I can't do for myself. If God is the one who gave his own son for me and met my need for forgiveness for my sin and salvation to eternal life, then how will he not also give me every other good thing, every other smaller thing that I also need? That's what we're saying when we stop and rest. And to help us with this, God has given us daily and weekly and also occasional and annual moments to rest. At the end of every day, we're meant to sleep. Sometimes we may find that difficult for all sorts of reasons, but it's built in, isn't it? Apparently you can die from not sleeping. You need to sleep. And even if you don't die, if you don't sleep enough, you might wish you were dead. We need to sleep. And it's a daily rhythm, just like it was at creation. There was evening and there was morning every day. And the evening is to rest. Weekly, we've already looked at the Sabbath, the idea that God has a day out of the seven intended for our good, that we rest, that we don't work, that we instead spend time acknowledging him and encouraging one another in him. And throughout the Old Testament and into the New, we see that there are regular celebration times as well. We looked at that in Deuteronomy, didn't we? About those festival times. They were their holidays. But again, remember that they weren't holidays where the people were to do whatever they felt like, to just kind of go to the beach and build sandcastles like we tend to. They were holidays to praise God together. That's what those holidays were for. Not that there's anything wrong with building sandcastles at the beach, but that the best rest comes when we build into our year times to praise God. But it can be hard, can't it? It can be hard to actually take those opportunities that God provides. It can be hard to rest at night time. It can be hard to go to bed at a good hour. There's lots of things that we could do instead. And it's getting harder, might I say. There was a day when the sun went down and there was nothing else you could do unless you could do it by candlelight or firelight. Yeah? We can make light 24/7, can't we? And there's lots of things that we can fill our time with 24/7. But I think it would be better to take note of the way that God made things and take our cue from that and make sure that we use those dark hours to rest well, to sleep, to get to bed like God intended. You know, he made our bodies to rest in the dark and not in the daytime. I know some of you are shift workers and you're going, tell me about it. But we need to do all that we can to pay attention to how God has made us, how he's made the world, and to make the most of the opportunities he's given us. Things like shopping, you know, everything being open every day of the week don't help either. And so to make the most of the opportunities that God intends, we actually need to say no to some of the opportunities that the world provides, you know, that electricity provides, that 7 day a week or online 24/7 shopping provide, that, you know, all sorts of things. We've got all sorts of opportunities, but resting will involve saying no to many of those things, exercising self-control to do that. We need to say no to convenience and yes to the rhythms of rest. So that's rest for the body, but we also need rest for our souls. See, I think everybody, whether they're a believer in Jesus or not, could acknowledge, yeah, sure, my body needs rest. But what Jesus comes to give us is rest for our souls. And that's the emphasis in the Bible, in fact. Rest for our souls. C.S. Lewis is quoted as saying, although other people say he never said it, but anyway, I'm going to go there with it, that you don't have a soul, you are a soul, you have a body. I think what he's getting at, if he ever said it, or whoever said it was getting at, is that we're very aware of our bodily nature, and we get all sorts of cues from our bodily nature about our need for rest. How aware are we of our nature as soulful people, people with souls, and that our souls are restless, that our souls are tired? The way that Augustine said it was, "You have made us for yourself." Talking to God. "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you. See, the world is full of wandering souls, restless souls. Restless because they're not resting in God, because they don't know the rest of their Heavenly Father through Jesus and the rest that he offers. So how, then, can we accept Jesus' invitation? When he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, rest for your souls. How do we do that? How do we come to Jesus and experience that rest? Well, the first thing to say is, and if we go to Matthew 11, if you've got it open in front of you, the first thing we need to understand is that that rest is only available through Jesus. Just have a look at verse 27. Jesus says, no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. In other words, Jesus is saying, no one knows the Father except through me. Unless I reveal the Father to you, you cannot know him. And then he says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. In other words, come to me and I will introduce you to the Father. I will help you to know the Father, and that's where you'll find rest. Because you'll come home, see. Come home to the resting place of your soul, which is with your Heavenly Father, knowing Jesus. And so it comes by uniting ourselves to Jesus, yoking ourselves to Jesus by faith and learning to trust him. That's where we'll find rest, learning to trust Jesus. Now, you may be saying, I know that. Like, that's pretty basic. And yet I still feel restless. I know that trusting Jesus is the answer, and I do trust Jesus, but I still feel restless. Now, maybe for you, that's because you're trying to find rest in unhelpful ways. You're actually trying to find your rest. You're saying, yes, I trust Jesus, but you're trying to find rest in other things. So a classic is, in our culture, we talk about escapism. We talk about doing things that we just need to escape. Just need to escape the world in all its pressures, and we'll do something that makes us feel good for a short amount of time. And we've actually come to accept that that's just kind of good and, you know, acceptable. But it's not good. The answer to rest isn't escaping the world, isn't escaping reality by watching a movie or reading a book or whatever it is that you think works for you, that gives you that hit, that sort of scratches where you're itching. It's actually going deeper into the true reality that you'll find rest. You see, there's a reality deeper than our busyness, and that is that Jesus is offering us rest. That if we spend time coming to Jesus, if we spend time devoted to him, working at knowing him, that's where we'll find true rest. Not in trying to escape reality by pursuing some sort of interest or craving or desire that makes us feel good. Just like an addict makes us feel good for a little while, but then that passes and we find ourselves exactly back where we were, or even worse, because we've just wasted time that we could have spent more productively. So escapism, maybe that's your route and you need to turn back from it. Maybe you're not rested. Maybe you're restless because you're still trying to prove yourself to people. Maybe you haven't accepted God's love for you in Jesus and the rock that is to build your life upon, your identity upon, and you're just trying to prove yourself to everybody. Maybe you're trying to prove yourself to yourself, trying to prove yourself to other people, trying to prove yourself to God. That's not restful, and it never will be. You're just like the hamster on the wheel, going again, over and over and over again, and you'll never find rest that way. You need to turn around. You need to turn back to Jesus. Know who you are in Christ and build up from there. Maybe you're not resting because you're not really trusting God to meet your needs. Maybe you are an extremely busy person because you're worried that if you don't look after your needs, no one will. Well, guess what? God says you need to rest. That's what you really need. And he will look after everything else. So there's all sorts of things that we may say, yes, I trust in Jesus, and yet be behaving in ways that reveal we don't really trust in Jesus. And we need to put them off before we can really rest. And so finally, I just want to mention a few things that we can do to positively come to Jesus and find our rest in him. As we've already seen, there are a bunch of ways that our bodies need rest, and that those finding rest in those ways, taking time for our bodies to rest, is actually intended to give us time and space to devote to the things that bring rest for the soul. And again, I think rhythms are crucial here. Reading the Bible, you know this, and it sounds too obvious to actually work, but it's God's plan. It's what he's given to us so that we can know Jesus and know the Father through Jesus. We need to spend time in the Bible. And if you want to make a New Year's resolution, just like you did last year maybe, make it again this year to spend more time, well, not necessarily more time, but regular time, reading the Bible, being reminded of God, of ultimate truths in his word. Along with that, of course, goes talking to God in prayer. Another great resolution to make on the 1st of January. Spend time with God simply by talking to him in prayer. Take time to meditate on God's word. Not time where there's anything coming in, but time where you're just thinking about what's already there. God's word in your mind and in your heart. Reflecting on whether or not God's word is being effective in your life. On where you need to repent. On going to him with those things, finding forgiveness, finding rest. You might benefit from memorizing scripture so that when you're doing other things, it just comes up in your mind and God speaks to you in those times. It might be that listening to music, Christian music, works for you, that God's word comes to mind through that means. Coming to church, being involved in your gospel community and its regular rhythms, being part of a DNA, all those things are crucial for rest as well. That's what those times set aside are designed for, that we come together to encourage one another as long as it's called today. And finally, even when we serve God, when we actually put ourselves out, when we're busy serving others, have you ever experienced that unusual, that strange rest that comes from being a servant of Jesus? Of knowing that you have spent your time well, and so you can rest in the good work that he is doing through you. So even through our ministry to one another and through looking to share Jesus with our friends, even those things can feed and help us to rest well in Jesus as we trust that he is working through us. I hope that 2017 is a year not where you just get busy, but where you're able to take time out, time for good things, time for the best things, time to respond to Jesus' invitation, to come to him for the rest that he offers and that he provides. Let's pray that it would be. Heavenly Father, you love us. You know what is best for us. And it's clear that we need to rest. We get all sorts of messages from the world about what we should do with our rest, what rest should look like. But none of it is ultimately restful. None of it offers rest for our souls. Father, help us to understand how deep that need is for us. And how real the rest is that Jesus offers. that peace that he offers, that freedom from toil, that freedom from having to prove ourselves, that freedom from anxiety, that freedom that comes from the one who gave everything for us and who on the cross echoed the words of his Father at creation when he cried, "It is finished." Father, help us to rest in the one who has finished the work for us. Help us to make every effort to hold on to him, to grow in our trust of him, and to express that trust in restful lives, lives that grow out of rested souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.